Yeah.
This episode is so cursed that but I'm fine.
Hello, and welcome to Snark Squad Pod, the media podcast full of feelings, friendship, and snark. My name is Marines.
I'm Nicole Sweeney.
And today we are joined by Lainey Kress.
My name is Lainey, and I am a YouTuber. I run the channel Ginger Reads Lainey, where I talk about books and writing. I also co-host the Novelty Podcast, where I talk about writing and publishing with some of my friends.
And Lainey has joined us to talk about all five Pirates of the Caribbean movies. This was a suggestion that came up, I guess, during a conversation while we were in line for the Pirates of the Caribbean ride at Disney World a couple months ago. And I don't know, when we were all really excited about being on vacation and going on rides, it sounded like a really good idea. I would like to say, for the record, that I was the last one to agree to this. And I just wish that I had held out a little longer, but it's fine. I didn't. And here we are. It's now my job to give you a plot synopsis for these five movies. The essential thing that you need to know is that there is a pirate named Jack Sparrow. And over the course of these five movies, he double crosses every character more times than I can count. He also gets double crossed a couple times, but it's like his shenanigans and hijinks in the Caribbean while he's a pirate. And that's the premise. That's the story of the five Pirates movies. So really quickly, the first movie is Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl. This is where we meet sort of our cast of characters. The first three movies also feature Keira Knightley as Elizabeth Swann and Orlando Bloom as Will Turner. In the first movie, Jack is trying to get back his ship, the Black Pearl. And in trying to do that, he discovers that the crew of his former ship, which he was mutinied off of, is cursed because of some loot that they stole. And now they they're like zombies, basically. The second and third movies are basically one very big story. So the second movie is Dead Man's Chest, and the third movie is At World's End. Will Turner discovers that his father is also cursed. There's a lot of curses. He's cursed to work Davy Jones's ship, and it's another undead pirate ship. A lot of curses, a lot of undead pirate ships going on here. But also controlling Davy Jones's ship gives you control of the sea, and then there's like a sea goddess. Again, a lot of moving parts here. The real enemy in all of this is like maybe capitalism or imperialism, because like the big bad here is the East India Trading Company trying to control the sea. I don't know. This is like an undercurrent message that I don't know if Disney was trying to send, but it's like the vibes I was getting while I was watching it. In the end, Jack Sparrow was going to take over running the cursed ship for Davy Jones, but Will Turner is dying, and so it's sort of last ditch effort to save him. He stabs the heart of Davy Jones, and then now he is in charge of the cursed ship. And instead of following the captain of the cursed ship and his like cool pirate queen wife, the next movie abandons them entirely. The fourth movie is On Stranger Tides, and they                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                            searching for the Fountain of Youth. And in the final movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales, another cursed ship full of undead. This time they're not pirates, I guess. They're pirate hunters, but a cursed ship full of undead pirate hunters comes to get Captain Jack Sparrow, who has regressed considerably as a character. And we get the very brief return of Elizabeth and Will, but mostly we get their son as he tries to rescue his dad from Davy Jones. And he does. And that's it.
I really appreciate your effort, especially because these movies do, I mean, I guess because I personally binged them and I hadn't seen any of them except for the first one, the plots are really meshed together after a point. So I will also do my best throughout this podcast to remember which movie was which.
No promises.
No promises.
Well, you guys know me. I'm your trash friend. So I've seen the Pirates movies plenty of times. I saw them all in theaters, except for the last two. I'm like an OG original trilogy fan.
Okay. You are free to, well, actually us, if we get the movie wrong, if we start talking about something happening in one movie, but it actually happened in another one.
Uh-huh. That's a good general introduction to our feelings, but I kind of want to take it back a step and do a very quick fire broad, did you like it? Movie by movie. So I'm going to ask you if you liked each individual movie. Let's start with The Curse of the Black Pearl, Lainey.
Yes. I mean, it's like the original, the first one. I liked it.
I also liked The Curse of the Black Pearl. I liked it when it came out, and I still had a fun time rewatching it.
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing about the first one. I'm just going to say it quick. Okay, so, like, I've talked about The Mummy on your guys' podcast before, but, like, what made The Mummy so great? It's a romance. It's a comedy. It's a horror, and it's an adventure. That's the same thing. It's all the same elements that make up the first pirate movie. It's all those things in one movie.
I will agree. I maybe didn't enjoy my rewatch this time, but it was more because I was like looking down the barrel of watching all five movies. Mm-hmm. And then like Nicole had talked to me about it. She's like, oh my God, the third movie so long. And so it was kind of like this knowing what I was getting into. That was kind of, I was like dreading. Yeah, no, it's fine. But the first movie is, I think, objectively the best one. So, and I would rewatch it again. Like I would not. Of all of these movies, I think this is the only one that I would watch again. So my answer is yes. Yeah. Dead Man's Chest.
Yes, but, and I think we were tweeting each other, Nicole, during this one. Like, it just took so long to get to the point of, I feel like, the plot of the second one.
Yeah, that is the movie where I took to Twitter because I was like, I think I'm having a mostly fun time. I just don't understand if this movie's ever going to end. Like, it feels like it's going on forever. And then you get to the end and I was like, oh, the reason it felt like we were never going to get to the resolution is because we didn't get to the fucking resolution. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think that it was obscenely too long, but I would say that I'm just barely this side of yes. If this is a yes or no question, just this side of yes, I liked it.
This was the part where I was like, oh, okay. Because it's where it starts to feel too long and then where you mm-hmm. start to see kind of like the chinks in the armor of the plot, I guess, and how like this repeated double crossing and like the things that they will continue to use over and over again in the series. Like first time I was like, cool. Second time I was like, okay. So this is like the okay part of it. And then the third movie, At World's End, is kind of where I was like, I think I'm tired of this. So how do you guys feel about At World's End?
Well, I think the second one suffered from Hollywood realized like how big the first one was. So they're like, let's just throw everything into the sequel. And then they did. They threw everything into the sequel. And I know that they filmed the second and third one back to back. So I think that's why it's all big one continuous storyline, because it mm-hmm. basically is. So I like the third one just because it's like wrapping up that story. But I do think it was way too long because there were several scenes where I was watching it. I'm like, this whole thing could be shortened. I realized that when like Jack was in Davy Jones's locker, like we were on that scene for so long and he was just like, when he was playing with all his different versions of himself on that ship and then he was trying to pull the ship and it was just, that made me realize how long the movie was that whole entire sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sequence is way too long and it's also entirely Johnny Depp, which like in mm-hmm. 2019 is an experience to put yourself through. So there's that. I agree with everything that you guys have already said. It's okay. That's a really hard one for me to pick a yes, no. I liked that we got a resolution to the unending story from the second one. I like the way that it ended. I don't know. So it's fine.
Yeah, I like the way that it ended, but also just based on like 99% of Elizabeth's character arc, I liked the resolution kind of hers, but it's so hard because like, I know Keira Knightley was done with the movies, which fair, you know, girl, go do your thing. But the ending of her character wasn't my favorite, but like the journey of her character arc as a whole is like one of my favorites.
Okay. This is, I feel like we have to get into this more when we're actually talking about the movies after this lightning round, because I have some feelings about that.
Okay. So before we get there, these movies were released, the first three, 2003, 2006, and 2007. And then they kind of came back after finishing the original trilogy with 2011's On Stranger Tides, which I'm going to just take my shot here to be the first to say is the worst of the five. Agree as you may, but that's the right answer. Lainey?
Oh, no, 100% the right answer. The fourth one is the worst movie.
I had been telling everyone after I binged them that they get progressively worse, that like each one is worse than the one before it. But that might have just been a consequence of the like the viewing experience. Mm-hmm. Each one was more hours that I was spending watching these Pirates movies. So right, like I started each one more upset than I started the one before it. So it's hard for me. I suspect that when we have this conversation, I will come around to agreeing with you, though, that maybe the fourth one is worse than the fifth one. I don't know. The point is, I did not like it.
Okay, well, that brings us to the last movie, Dead Men Tell No Tales. Lainey?
I have a few things that I feel like are in defense of the fifth one, but we can talk about later, but I just watched it this morning and I was like, this is all right.
Well, as per my previous sense that they all got progressively worse and I said that I did not like the fourth one, I unsurprisingly did not like the fifth one. Thinking about it now, I'm already willing to come around to your guys' side and agree that the fourth one is worse, but that doesn't mean I liked the fifth one.
I don't think, again, I was pretty tapped out by the fifth one. I think that in a lot of ways, the fifth one tried to course correct what the fourth mm-hmm. one did wrong. And I don't think that they got entirely there, but I wasn't as mad as I was when I finished the fourth one as when I finished the fifth one. And I don't know. Again, this is all being colored by my experience of binging and rewatching or like watching these in close proximity. But I feel like had I watched the fifth one separate from the other ones, it wouldn't have been that bad. It was fine. So that all said, that kind of summary out of the way, we said we were going to talk about a lot of different things on the way through that summary. But I kind of want to start with Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow and mm-hmm. that whole dynamic and the way that, I don't know, his character kind of progresses through the series. And Nicole, you mentioned his character regression in the last movie. And just so the highs and lows of Captain Jack Sparrow, I think, is a good place to start.
Well, I mean, I also feel like the actual place to start is just, I don't know, the experience of choosing to watch five consecutive Johnny Depp movies in 2019. It has now been for me a week since I watched all of these movies. So I have enough distance that I guess I am prepared to actually just talk about these movies. But there was definitely a point in the watching where I was like, I don't know how to have a conversation about these movies that isn't a like, I fucking hate looking at Johnny Depp's face conversation. So like there's that piece of it that is just, I don't know, like that's like it's a very different experience that we are having now that I wasn't having, you know, in 2003. That like that where Johnny Depp's face was one of the draws of the experience when I went in 2003.
Well, yeah, the thing is that Jack Sparrow is the face of the franchise, hands down. However, he's nothing more to me than a supporting character. And you mentioned, Nicole, how he regresses in, I think, the fourth movie, which is true. But like he's never actually progressed at all, in my opinion.
No, well, the fifth movie to me, I said it. Read the fifth movie because in the fifth movie he is like off his ass drunk and is like fucking useless at the beginning of the movie, like plot wise he is supposed to be fucking useless. He trades away his compass, like that's the whole thing at the start of the fifth movie. There's not really any explanation about how he got from A to B. Mm-hmm. And I also felt like Johnny Depp's performance of the character was like particularly, I don't know, lazy. It everything about that character where we meet him at the beginning of the fifth movie was upsetting.
Agreed. And like I think maybe that's why the fourth movie sucks so much, is because I think Disney or, you know, the heads, whoever, were confusing that the face of the franchise should be the main character because he does not work as a main character. And they tried so hard to make him the main character in the fourth movie, which makes to me why the fourth movie sucks so much, because he's not a main character. There's like no character growth. There's no character arc in the entirety of the five movies, in my opinion. And I mean, he's great comic relief. That's who he is. I laugh, I chuckle, despite it being Johnny Depp. But it's just, and they try to give him like a serious love interest in the fourth movie, and it just, that did not work. And it's just, it all just didn't work.
Yeah, I think that I thought a lot about, we've mentioned this book a couple of times now on the podcast, and I've now read it following Nicole's recommendation. So I recently read I Like to Watch by Emily Nussbaum, which is a collection of essays. She has a longer piece that contends with her love of Woody Allen movies and what that has meant for her. And you see her kind of battling through her feelings about, I don't know, being an art critic, a media critic, and then also engaging with media that is from people who do bad things. And so that was playing in my head the entire time I was watching Johnny Depp, because for me, so we made the decision to cover this on the podcast. We review media on this podcast. Like, that's what we do. But also, like, I had no prior ties to this franchise. I think I've watched the first movie a couple of times and that's it. So there was not even like that nostalgia of being like, well, I came to the media first and then found out Johnny Depp was bad. Like, I came into this knowing, right? Like, what the hell was happening? And it definitely just, it does take away a layer of enjoyment, because truly, while the stories and the plots don't hinge on Jack being the main character or like his arc at all, he's the draw. He's definitely the draw. Mm-hmm. He's the thing that the all of the plots and the big set pieces kind of revolve around. Uh-huh. And so he's always like the one that comes in at the last minute, or, and a lot of times he has a hand in saving the day. So while the plots themselves put other characters up at the forefront of their arcs, I think in a lot of ways you're meant to be rooting for Jack at the heart of the story, and trying to divorce Jack from Johnny Depp was not successful in 2019.
So hearing you say that makes me think that we should actually back up one step and do sort of a, I don't know, cooler than homework nostalgia check on these movies, because I'm curious. So you said the only movie that you had seen before this was the first one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. So I loved the first one when it came out. It is the only one that I own a copy of. I don't know what happened to that copy, but I definitely own it. I watched it all the time. I have mentioned multiple times on the podcast that there was a period of time where I like came home from school every day and watched the 2005 Pride and Prejudice movie. I feel like that replaced this. Like before that, this was like that movie for me. Maybe not for the entirety of that time, that sort of time window. But the point is, I watched the first movie all the time. The second and third movies I definitely saw in the theaters, but I have really hazy memories of them. My nostalgic tie to them is much looser, and it's mostly like carryover from the strong nostalgic tie that I have for the first one. And then I had never seen the fourth or fifth movies until I sat down to watch them for this podcast.
I've seen them all prior to rewatching them. But I've never been a huge fan of Johnny Depp. I don't know, like, I just have never watched a lot of his movies. And I never had like that kind of like nostalgic tie to him, I guess, to say.
I did. So that is the other thing too I will add, is that Edward Scissorhands was my favorite movie for like a hot stretch of time too. So like I prior to Pirates, like I also really loved Edward Scissorhands. So when I say that like he was a big part of the draw of going to see Pirates, like I mean that earnestly. Mm. That like I was a big fan. And so you hear it in that Emily Nussbaum piece that Mari mentioned, but like the level of heartache, I guess, in the like, oh wow, this person sucks, like it hits differently when it is somebody that you did have an attachment to their work, where you're like, well, fuck, like you just like ruined my experience of things that I genuinely deeply love.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I had no attachment to Johnny Depp. However, I mean, I've always loved Jack Sparrow. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's like one, the only character of his that I like really like. But I, maybe it's just because like when I was getting older and like kind of watching Jack Sparrow through the lens of a writer, where I was like seeing all of like the problems that his character have, just like disassociating him with Depp completely. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the only role of his that I can like completely separate the two. And I'm usually never that person. I always tie the same thing. Like, I do that with books and authors. I do that with movies. But like, for some reason, it's just like Jack Sparrow lives on a different plane than Johnny Depp. But I'm not like obsessed with Jack Sparrow, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's mm-hmm. weird.
No, that makes perfect sense. And when I tweeted about watching these movies, I got like mixed sort of reactions. Our friend Sam was like, I was just thinking the other day about how absurd it is to ever watch these movies again. But then on the on the other end of the spectrum, I had people who were like, no, this is like the one sort of franchise where I have enough of an attachment to the franchise that like I can separate out. Like, I couldn't watch a new Johnny Depp movie. And I'm not saying any of this to say like that there is a correct answer here. Like, I think mm-hmm. that is something that you are going to have to like negotiate for yourself. And that reasoning makes perfect sense to me. That sense of like older stuff that I've spent enough time with, like I can make that separation in a way that like something brand new, kind of to Mari's point about how for her, she was coming at all of this stuff for the very first time. And like that changes the dynamic, you know? Yeah.
I think it's interesting kind of stepping away from Johnny Depp, the actor, to have a story or a franchise that is what this attempted to be, in that idea that like Captain Jack Sparrow is the like main attraction, but he's not often the main character, like Lainey was saying. And I think that we see that to varying degrees of success throughout the series as well. So in the trilogy, it's Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley's character that I think are really supposed to be like driving the action and the main plot. So how did you feel about both of them as characters?
Okay, listen, I love them.
Me too.
Like, I do think that Elizabeth is the main character. And I think Disney forgot that because of the star power that Johnny/Jack brought. But like the opening of the movie, it opens with Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. It is technically a dream, nightmare, whatever, but it goes right into her waking up. Like it's we're watching everything through her eyes.
And it's the three film journey to watching her become the fucking pirate queen. Yes. So, you know.
And that, like, yeah, like that is a main character arc.
Yeah.
Is what she experienced. And I say in like varying less degrees, Orlando Bloom too had a very extensive character arc as well. But I mean, Elizabeth is for sure the main character, hands down. I will die on that hill.
Well, and even his arc is like often sort of pulled along by hers too, right? Like mm-hmm. he's like chasing her. So I would agree with that assessment that it's like her and then him in a very close 1-2 in terms of the actual driving character arcs. Mm-hmm. I love them very dearly. I will say, watching the first movie and like knowing that I was obsessed with it, this is like anytime we talk about media that I watched as a teen, this is going to come up and I'm not sorry, but I had this moment of like, oh yeah, I didn't know I was bi. Okay. It all makes sense now.
That's funny.
I actually love them both.
And like, I think because they're both good actors too, like there was just something very endearing about like their natural chemistry and their characters. I love them. And I think that's why the fourth one sucked, because we experienced the loss of Elizabeth and Will.
And it's so fucking disappointing the way that like, Lainey, I want to get back to the thing that you started to say in the quote unquote lightning round that wasn't really a lightning round. The thing for me is I like the way the third one ends, because it's not really clear what's going on with Elizabeth, like the way that ends. And so in my head, it is not the thing that the movies present subsequently in the fourth and fifth movies. Like, I think it's a thing where it upsets me in the context of the fourth and fifth movies, which seem to want to have me believe that she is waiting out on a fucking island for decades at a time mm-hmm. for her like one day of boning, and like that's it, that's her life now, after she became whatever. I simply refuse to accept that. She was always the one who was more driven to like she wanted to be a fucking pirate. She clearly wanted to be a fucking pirate.
Yeah.
Whereas like Will spent his youth being like, well, I can't want to be a pirate because what I want is the governor's daughter. So yeah. Like, I want to be on the straight and narrow so I can get the governor's daughter. Whereas Elizabeth was like, you know, I'm rich and like, it's really boring. What if I was a pirate? It's like, that was like her childhood. So, you know, I don't know. I don't believe that she didn't like run off and like do pirate shit while she was waiting for Will.
Oh, I feel like she would have been trying to find a way to break him free.
Or yes. That. Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
And like, even in the fifth movie, when the Trident was introduced, I'm like, Elizabeth would be here.
She would fucking know about it. Yeah. She was the one who knew all the lore. Like that was, yes, yes.
I agree with everything that you guys have been saying. I did really enjoy the both of them. I enjoyed their chemistry. I liked that they were the ones that were adventuring. This is like a general complaint for all of it. And I think this was always going to be not my jam because of like, it's fine to have a couple or maybe one. That'd be great. Morally gray characters, but they all get to this place where I don't even know who to trust. I don't know who's playing for what. They're all double crossing each other. And, that's maybe more of like a plot complaint or a writing complaint because it just got to be kind of annoying at one point that they were all serving their own interests. And so it kind of muddied the waters. But for the most part, yes, I agree that this movie, I guess the franchise didn't truly recognize the story it should have been emphasizing. I mean, it told the story, but I guess just the idea that, you know, you could step away from their story and that at the end of it, once Elizabeth and Will are gone, they keep trying to like almost replace the characters with like prototypes of those two characters. And so you see this in their like son and then another mm-hmm. pouty brunette that comes in and I'm like, that's cool, but can we just have the originals or?
Right.
And then even when Penelope Cruz's character comes in, I think that she's very much in the mold of Elizabeth as well. So I don't know. It just felt weird that there was that like hollow missing place and the movie was just like, here, take this instead. And it never quite worked.
I think it's because like Will and Elizabeth's love story carried through for the three movies. So with that gone, what was there left to like? They were really the heart of the first three movies.
The tension in their love story was the kind of morally gray thing that Mari is talking about. And so, mm-hmm. like, when you subtract their love story, then it is just a lot of people being, like not talking to each other. Like, there's a lot of the plot elements that they keep trying to pack in there don't work as well when you don't have kind of this existing, okay, these two people, like these, you know, young lovers are, like, trying to figure out, do they trust each other and whatever. Like, that... none of the stand-ins could quite achieve that same effect, right. I think is part of the problem too. I also want to go back to that morally gray thing because I had a thought while I was watching this that because this movie came out in 2003 that like maybe Captain Jack Sparrow is the reason that like millennials eagerly signed themselves up for 15 years of terrible hot white man anti-hero characters. So that was also a reason that I was getting upset.
It's super interesting because I feel like that it really does always navigate this like weird middle ground where at first it was like he's a pirate but he is an undercover, like at his very heart and soul he might be a good man is something that the movies try to tell us. But then after that, but then they're all pirates and pirates like steal things and break laws. And I mean, you know, pirates are generally not known to be good people, but then they are all together, but then they keep double crossing each other. And then the Navy is like the bad guy. and you're like, okay, but they're like the law keepers. And I don't like any of the people in the Navy, but at the end of the day, they're just really trying to get the pirates out of the sea. So I don't know.
You know, interesting about like the Navy, I'm already forgetting his name. Is it Norrington?
Yes.
Okay, so the first few times I've watched it, I never knew that was the same character throughout those three movies. It wasn't until like a rewatch ago, like not this one, the one before that, I was like, that's the same guy that's been in all three movies. But like, he's so unremarkably, I don't know, milquetoast that I like don't recognize him. And like, that's the thing with these movies, I learn something new every time I rewatch it. Like, I notice something I didn't notice before or something tries to make more sense, because like the double crossing, I'm like, why are they all like, what's the motive for this character? Like, it's all confusing. The plot is, especially in the third one, I feel like I knew maybe 40% of what was happening. But there were big action scenes, and then I got distracted, and I was liking that, and then the music. And
I will say that I think that part of what makes this probably rewatchable is because whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, they do get very self-referential, and there is like lines of continuity throughout, even if the plot is going all over the place. Mm-hmm. I feel like there are, like, even down to one thing that I noticed, like, this watch, and I'm sure people have seen it multiple times, but like Will's sword, like, keeps passing hands. Yes. And oh, so yeah. Things like that, that it was like, oh, neat. Like, there's his sword again. And there's even one point that, like, it falls. I don't remember how. And like a random, like, red shirt picks it up and is looking at it. And then Davy Jones comes out of nowhere and, like, kills him and grabs the sword. So the way that you can, like, see lines of continuity like that are really neat. It does get a little self-congratulatory sometimes, I think, in the way that it just keeps like referencing itself over and over again. But that kind of thing really does build itself well into rewatching, so that you can say like, oh man, that actor's the same dude. Or like, oh man, you know, there goes the sword again, or whatever it is.
Well, the fourth one, character-wise. So you guys will like this because I am the kink friend. So I forgot that Sam Claflin was playing a cleric. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, because I like priests. So then I ended up liking him more in this rewatch than I have in past. But again, they try to recreate that love story. It didn't work out. But there's like a part of me that was like, I kind of liked it when I was rewatching it this time.
Because it was a priest and it was Finnick. You're like, okay, yeah, priest Finnick, I'm into it.
And a mermaid. I really, as much as I did not like the fourth one, I really liked the mermaid attack scene.
Oh, yeah.
That was, I think, my favorite action sequence.
Yeah, I totally agree. The suspense building of the mermaid swarming the boat, I thought, was really, really well done. Like, it mm-hmm. was very ominous and also kind of pretty at this end. Like, it was very cool.
And then when she just like showed up on the side of the boat, I was like, oh, like, still, like, it still like caught me off guard.
Yeah,
she's so nice.
Yeah, she's so pretty.
I too would risk it all.
The cleric and the mermaid thing were another stand-in for the original love story, and theirs is very insta-lovey, but they're two very pretty people.
Right.
And also, I cared for them more than I cared for literally anybody else on the screen. So I don't think that it did a particularly good job convincing me that I should care about these two people, but the dearth of other characters that I found likable, I was like, ah, okay, you guys win.
Yep. I guess you guys are where I'm pinning all my hopes.
And the last movie, the stand-in is Henry and then Karina, which they kind of get thrown together through the adventure, so I guess it's a little less insta-lovey. But how'd you feel about those two?
That's definitely less insta-lovey. I was delighted when she showed up. One of the few joys that I found in the fifth movie, they were few and far between, but I really loved the British skins. And her character was the bridge character between sort of the first two kind of like cycles, I guess, of teens on British skins. For people who didn't watch it, she was like the younger sister of one of the main characters from the beginning. And then she becomes kind of the main character in her sort of class of teens or whatever. And so I don't know. I like get excited when I see her in things. Everything has been in post skins has been bad. Like, she was in the Maze Runner movies, no, hard pass. But I was delighted to see her. That's it. That's, I don't know, the characters themselves, whatever, I don't care. But I was like, oh, Effie.
Well, Maddie, you mentioned in the beginning that the fifth movie was trying to course correct, and I see that, because again, the fifth movie opens with Henry as a child trying to get his father back. Then we fast forward to him still doing his thing on the ship to try to get his father back. So if they would have focused more on him, and I thought like he was a pretty decent actor. Like, there were times when I thought, like, he literally reminds me of a young Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, the casting was good.
Yeah, and he had, like, the mannerisms down and, like, the voice down. And I was just disappointed because they didn't end up focusing on him. Again, he should have been the main character of this movie. But they were trying to shift it to Jack for some reason. I don't know why, but it's just missed opportunity that Disney makes.
Especially when, again, like, or like Johnny Depp, setting aside like my feelings about Johnny Depp in general, like, he also was like hardcore phoning it in. I don't know. Like, it's clear that he didn't seem particularly interested in carrying this movie. It seemed like he was kind of just there to get his paycheck and go home. So, like, maybe you could have had him get that paycheck in the background and tell the kid's story.
Because I did really like Karina too. I thought her character backstory was interesting and was well thought out to an extent, but like, they didn't focus on them. And I think that they could have started something with what Elizabeth and Will had in the first movie.
I kind of got to the point, her father ends up being Barbosa. Mm-hmm. And so it's like it was almost very close to Will's story, where he was like, mm-hmm, missing his dad, and his dad ended up being a pirate or whatever. So when it happened again, I was like, oh, come on. It was very clear we're on the fifth movie at that point, because everything just felt recycled that way. Like, there wasn't a piece of it where I was like, oh, they brought this shiny new thing out for the fifth movie. It just all felt like pieces that had succeeded before, down to her backstory. So I didn't care.
If they would have thought that out previously with Barbosa, I think the payoff would have been better, but it did just feel kind of tacked on.
Yes. Well, and Barbosa's entire character in this movie was not like, he was only in this movie to be this sort of antagonistic force so that you could have this moment of, oh my God, that's my dad. But mm-hmm, like, everything that he did up to that point was look weird.
Also, like, he was getting like, this is just personally, I couldn't stand looking at him more and more as the movies progressed. He just like looks so gross.
Okay, it's funny because I was telling Mari beforehand that I at some point was like on everybody's IMDb pages, and you should look at Jeffrey Rush's IMDb, because his like the main photo on there is just like, what a sweet old man. What a sweet and charming old man. So I don't know. I understand why you felt that way in the context of this movie, but also leave Jeffrey Rush alone.
I mean, like, because he wasn't that bad in the first one. I mean, he wasn't like a daddy, but he was decent to look at.
All right, here we go. This is what's really going on here, and I no longer have any sympathy for you.
I know that there are people who like enjoy, as a general concept, like pirate stories. It mm-hmm never has appealed to me or been my jam. And I know that this is going to be like the least of probably the reasons why they should not be my jam. But I was just so disgusted the whole time about like the general hygiene and just like the entire like thing about pirates is apparently that they're like dirty and never cut their hair or nails or something. I don't know. I hated all of it. And anytime that they talked about like not bathing, I was like, that's gross. You guys should bathe. It was very distracting.
Like, the grime on the characters themselves get worse every movie. It's like they try to so like bad up it.
It was so bad.
But Barbosa is also a character that's been in all five movies. What did you guys think of him?
It's Barbosa. Not that they're in all five movies, but as like antagonists, we talked about like the real bad guys, which are the Navy and the East India Trading Company. But then you have these people like Barbosa, Davy Jones, and then Javier Bardem's character in the last movie, who's like the ghost whatever or other. And so they kind of come in and provide like another layer of bad guy on top of it. But I don't know that I have particular feelings about any of them.
Same. Because I know in like the second movie, at the end of the second movie, when they brought him back, it was supposed to be like this big moment. And I felt just... okay.
Same. Yes. I felt nothing.
Here he is again. Wow. And it's one of those things that, like, as series progress or you keep adding onto them, mm-hmm. that I would assume that it gets harder to maintain, because what started off as like a true antagonism between these two characters then almost became like a friendly antagonism. And I'm like, what's happening? Do you guys want to kill each other or not? And then they just kept stealing the ship back and forth from one another. And so that kind of thing gets watered down. So at the end of the day, like, how do I feel about Barbossa? I don't know. He was whatever the series wanted him to be at that moment.
Well, and especially just the way in which it adds like new magic element on top of new magic element. It's like, fine, he's alive now. Like, I don't know. Sure. He's alive now. We're going to find another cursed ship. Like, whatever.
Yeah, okay, that reminds me. There was even a point, I think, in the third, towards the beginning of the third movie when, like, I was thinking, I'm like, why did Calypso, because I know she's revealed to be Calypso, why did she bring back Barbossa? Why didn't she just bring back Jack? And then, like, literally the next scene was, like, them doing, like, an exposition dump about why she couldn't bring back Jack, but she was mm-hmm. able to bring back Barbossa from the dead.
That kind of stuff is nice, though. Like, when you have a question and then the movie promptly answers the question, like, that, mm-hmm. I don't know, that I'm into as an experience. I never thought to ask any questions while watching these movies. Because I was like, I don't know, like, nothing, everything is like, all of the explanations are kind of hand wavy. And like, that's I don't say that even as a criticism. Like, I think that is part of what they are. Like, so that's fine. But shrug.
I think that here's a, I don't know, a quick fix for me, I think, if for the series. Had it been a little bit... acknowledged a little more of what it was doing, and it was like some kind of premise of like, okay, Captain Jack Sparrow, his ragtag crew are gonna find and chase every legend curse of the ocean, and that's what they do. Then it would have felt like, okay, cool, that's what they do, instead of just doing this over and over again, and every time we think we're done, there's a new legend. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, it had it been like acknowledged a little more, like, here's this team, this crew that, you know, they're really hard to kill, and you're like, yeah, you're right. Like, three of them have died and come back from the dead. But at least you're acknowledging it, and it's just not being presented as like a new plot thing every time.
I like that.
Yeah, I also love that. I kind of want to touch on Calypso. How did you guys feel about Calypso?
Well, it took a really hard time for me to actually look at her because, again, the dirt, the unhygienic, the black teeth was just really putting me off.
Calypso is part of like another very huge and like totally real complaint against this movie, and it is that it exists sort of on a world like ours, but not ours, and out of time also, because what is even time? When is this even happening? Nobody knows. But it sure does know how to adapt all of the like racial stereotypes of our world real, real good. So anytime that we were in the Caribbean for a while, and I was like, are there any Caribbeans here? Or we're just not going to acknowledge that that is a thing. And then when people of color do start showing up, it just subscribed to seriously every stereotype within media and without that you could ever hope to encounter. So she's like, first we're like, oh, look, it's a person of color. And she's like a magical brown woman. And you're like, cool, 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 cool. So, you know, I don't know that I saw much past that.
Well, Zoe Saldana was in the first one, and I liked her character, even though she was like a minor role for her. But I would have liked to have seen her in like the franchise more.
Absolutely. Mari, basically, that's why I wanted to bring Calypso up. Make sure that we put all that out there. So, yes, cosign. I also would have liked to have seen Zoe Saldana. I think basically like around this time she started like getting more and bigger and better parts. Mm-hmm. And so probably like it was not an option. I would have loved it if that like Barbossa reveal moment had been her. Like, no, don't worry, I called in Zoe Saldana. She's going to help solve this. Like, why? Well, I don't know.
I would have cheered.
Do you want Jeffrey Rush gonna? Do you want some behind the scenes facts?
Yes. Yes. Give me
so they told the actors that it was going to be Zoe Saldana coming down the stairs. So
God damn it.
Yeah. So that when Barbossa came down, they could get their genuine reactions of surprise.
Rude. Yeah. Well, they should have actually had it be Zoe Saldana.
Horror. Yeah. Surprise.
Terrible. That's just terrible. They did that backwards. They did that entirely backwards. They should have told them it was going to be Barbossa and then had it be Zoe Saldana. Like, I don't really understand why it had to be Barbossa. Like, why did he have to be the one to come save the day?
I don't know.
I could answer it with what the plot wanted you to think, but yeah. Honestly, it doesn't matter.
I've lost it all. What did the plot want me to think? What, like, this is a real question.
He was like the captain of the cursed ship, and so the idea was that he had like sailed to the ends of the earth rescuing his treasure, so he would be the one who could take them to World's End to get Jack back.
That is a very wishy-washy and terrible explanation for which Zoe Saldana would have been just as sufficient an answer. So I maintain my discontent.
Building off of that and talking about Calypso, but just kind of generalizing about, I don't know, the female characters, but particularly about sex in this universe.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot. I was messaging you about this while I was watching,
yes.
too.
Now it was my turn to bring up a thing for you to have feelings about, because...
Okay, it is so wild to me how, like, how much murder and general darkness takes place in these movies, but they are so, like, cagey and weird about talking around the fact that the timing of Mr. Collins, I don't know what his character's name is, but Mr. Collins, when he shows up to, like, interrupt their wedding or whatever, in the second movie, they're like, they make casual acknowledgments of the fact that, like, her wedding night was interrupted, and, like, it's just so weird to me that Disney's line in the sand is like, yeah, we can have a ton of murder, but, like, heaven forfend we acknowledge that, like, a married couple was gonna have sex. I don't know, like, it's just very, very weird to me.
It becomes hilarious if you think that they would have, like, leaned into it, and it was just like, listen, Elizabeth wants to get laid.
She's going
to the ends of the earth and no man shall stop her.
Let Elizabeth bone.
But in the third movie, when they finally do have sex and she gets pregnant the first time, they were a little, it was a little sexy there at the end. Like, I was like,
yeah,
oh,
it was
okay.
A little kiss of the knee.
There was some sexy knee going on.
It is wild to me, though, the way that it did get more violent, or the way that, like, the different things that they would and would not show. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of hanging going on. Like, mm-hmm. they hung a lot of people.
The fourth movie opens with the hanging of a child.
Yes.
Like, we cut away from it. We don't see it. But, like, the fourth movie, the last thing that happens before we cut to the title card is a child is sentenced to death by hanging. And in that same movie, we have Penelope Cruz, the fiery Latina, is the first sort of, like, maybe sexual woman. But then they undercut that by being like, no, she was going to be a nun and she feels really bad about how she's sexual. And I'm like, well, God damn it.
And then, but then, like, okay, so they have, like, the hanging of a child. They do cut away because they're like, okay, we won't go over that line. And I don't know if I think it is in the fourth movie where we go to Singapore.
That's and the third so movie.
The third movie.
I think also
The
Hanging of the Child is the third movie too.
So, same movie. we're in Singapore and they're at the, like, the steam rooms, and then they just show, like, point blank two of these women being shot in the head.
Yeah. Who are Asian women.
Yes. Two Asian women just, like, boom, shot in the head. And then they, like, focus on the dead body. So we see the clear, like, bullet hole. And I'm just like, why would you show me this? Why is this, like, not worthy of, like, upping your PG-13 rating? But, you know, God forbid if we talk about Elizabeth getting boned.
I also noticed that's a violence with no blood. So we'll see, like, all these, like, stabbings with the swords and everything, but we won't see the blood. So I think that's maybe how they get away with it.
There's a lot of also, like, innuendo built into these things. Mm-hmm. There's like one point where Barbossa, I think it's Barbossa and Jack, are, like, taking out their, like, telescopy things.
Yeah.
But it's a whole, like, visual gag about whose is bigger and things like that. So they're not above.
There's a lot of penis jokes in the
franchise.
A lot
of penis jokes.
Yeah.
A lot of penis jokes. So, like, they'll do that. Yep. But all Elizabeth gets is a neat kiss.
But hey, I wanted that neat kiss after I saw it.
Oh, to be clear, I would not turn away a neat kiss from Orlando Bloom.
To be clear, I would not turn away Trading Places with either one of them in that scene.
Well, I just want to say that when I was watching the third movie, I was watching it at my parents' house. So my mom would be coming in and out, and she could not sit and watch Davy Jones. Mm. She couldn't watch, like, the tentacles, like, moving around.
That is fair, but also, or I guess, and also, I don't know, I was impressed with how good the special effects on that were, especially given that, you know, I don't know, it's like more than a decade old at this point. I was impressed by how well done the effects on Davy Jones were.
Mm-hmm. We were watching these five movies that through their, like, when they were released, like, spread from 2003 to 2017, which is a long time in like technology and movie making. I don't, did you guys see that, or did you feel that at all as you were watching, like, the newer movies felt newer?
I don't think so, because honestly, I feel like the best CGI was the Flying Dutchman crew. That was the Davy Jones and, like, I don't know, the hammerhead shark guy. That's who I always remember. And Will Turner's
dad.
And
the way that they become one with the ship.
Yeah. Yes. I felt like that CGI was, like, so well done for the time period.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the later movies focused more on just big action set pieces. Like, even, like, the opening of the fifth one where they're pulling the whole damn building down the streets.
Oh, my God. That was too much. I forgot about that.
Well, you know what it reminded me of, Maddie? It reminded me of the Fast and Furious 5, Fast 5, when they were pulling the safe through the streets of Rio.
Correct. Okay, fine. I cannot criticize them pulling a bank because there was also the scene in the last one that made me, like, laugh out loud, where it was like, it was literally like a shark jumping, like a jumping shark. I was like, great, we've jumped the shark. The movie actually was like, here you go. It's like, okay, thank you.
Yes.
But I will agree that I think that the first one was the only one where I was like, oh my God, why does 2003 look like so long ago? But then, I don't know, there's a general, like, griminess to it all that really ties it together. And that it didn't really feel like, you know, you're watching entirely different movies. It really stayed within the aesthetic as you watched.
I think the only time I've really noticed, like, bad, not really bad CGI, but noticeable CGI, was at the very end of the second movie when the Kraken was going to eat him. I'm like, he's very clearly standing in front of a green screen. Other than that, though, like, I felt like everything felt real.
I also was impressed by, we didn't really even talk about this, but the fact that this is adapted from a ride.
Our inspiration.
Yeah. But the bit when they go to Singapore, I was like, it's interesting because we are no longer in the Caribbean, but I also kind of feel like I'm at, like, Disneyland. Like, I don't know, like, they did a really good job of aesthetically making those kinds of nods to its origin. I don't know.
It's so funny too, because now if you go to Disney World or Land and you ride the ride, it's like now adapted to the movies.
Yes,
so
yes,
it, like, features Captain Jack Sparrow in the ride itself. And, you know, the dog with the keys and the whole jail cell thing is, I don't know which came first, like which.
That was in the ride first.
That was in the ride. Yes, so that went to the movie. So it's, like, weird the way that they, like, crisscross each other now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, this all started with us being happy at Disney World when we agreed to watch all five movies.
And now we did it. And now we're here.
So I will say that as I was getting ready for this episode, I was like looking up a list of all the names of the movies so I could try to keep them straight. The last movie ends with that additional scene. Did you guys see it?
Yeah. You know, I have so much mad respect for Keira Knightley, who just, like, walked in, did a cameo, didn't speak, and all her scenes where we're running up to kiss Orlando Bloom and then to sleep. Like, that is
I hope she got paid so well.
She's made it.
So on the additional, like, scene at the end of the last movie, it's Orlando Bloom and Keira Knightley, and they're sleeping, and you see the, like, the outline of Davy Jones walk into their room. But when Orlando Bloom, like, turns around, he wakes up, there's nothing there. And so he just hugs Keira Knightley, who got paid, I hope, so much money for that hug. But then you look down and there are, like, little barnacles. So it's clear somebody was there. And then the, it ends for real. So it's like leaving the door open for future adaptations. And then what happened after that was that, you know, Johnny Depp was revealed to be not such a great man. And then so there were, like, conflicting reports about whether or not the franchise would continue. I found a lot of, like, articles from the end of 2018 and beginning of 2019 that was like, Johnny Depp is out, here's how the franchise can continue without him. But the most recent thing I found was from October 26th, I think it was, so end of October, announcing that the next movie had a writer. It's the man, his name escapes me, who wrote and directed, I believe, Chernobyl.
Craig Mazin?
Yes.
What the
hell? He's now on board to write the next Pirates movie.
Chernobyl is so good. This is like just an aside. So I worked on a, like, pilot series at work where we taught history lessons through pop culture. And so we did an episode on Chernobyl that was, like, heartbreaking. And while I was trying to pull clips for this episode, I kept getting distracted and, like, wanting to watch the show. So I had to, like, stop and watch the show in order to finish making doing my job, basically. And I will say that Chernobyl, like, everything about it is incredibly, incredibly well done. So I am intrigued. I am intrigued. I know I just spent the last hour bitching, but
to be honest, I think the Pirates franchise can do without Johnny Depp.
Oh my God.
100%. 100%.
I don't want it to be like the excuse of we're not having him because of all of what's come out about him. I want it to be like, no, Pirates can stand on its own without Jack Sparrow. You know, you feel me?
Yeah.
I feel what you're saying, but I don't agree. I mean, yes, sure, Pirates can stand on its own, but, like, also, fuck Johnny Depp. Like, and, like, we can say that, too.
I'm just thinking of all the Twitter discourse that would birth.
I don't care.
I mean, I don't care either, but it's tiring to see.
Sure, yes.
Mute Johnny Depp and fuck Johnny Depp.
Yes. Here, here.
I would almost want all new characters, but then I also just am, like, such a fan of Elizabeth and Will.
Yes, I want, just give me my pirate queen Elizabeth Swann story.
I think it either needs to be Elizabeth and Will or nobody at all from the original movies. Like, there's no in between for me.
Same.
Hard agree.
All right, so we're going to watch another Pirates movie. Cool.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, we laugh now, but, like, 2022 or something, 2023.
That's when we're quitting the podcast. The new Pirates movie is out. Oh, we're done now.
And on that note, thank you so much to Lainey for joining us this week. And thank you all for listening. If you are enjoying the podcast, consider sharing it with your friends or rating and reviewing it wherever you are listening to this podcast. We'd also love to hear all of your thoughts on all five movies of Pirates of the Caribbean. And let us know, will you be watching in 2022 or 2023? There will be a post dedicated to this episode up on snarksquad.com. You can also find us all on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at My Name is Marines.
I am at Sweeney Says.
And I am at Read Along Lainey.
This podcast is produced by me and Nicole, and it is edited by Nicole. The theme music that is playing us out right now is by Stefan Chin, and we will be back in your feed next week.
Bye. Bye.